Thanks for taking us along the KSL Greenhouse with Maria and Ton. Taking your calls, 801-575-8255. You can text us at 57500. Let's take a call from Vince in South Jordan. Good morning, Vince.
Hi, good morning.
What is your question?
So my question is, I had a pear tree. My neighbor cut it down for me. And I still have this stump, and I'm wondering if it's best to pull it out or if it's best to just cut it off and use a stump grinder and leave it.
How wide is the trunk?
It's about 8 inches in diameter. It's pretty big.
So, I mean, it's not huge, and so theoretically, especially if you don't have rocky soil, you could dig it and then use an axe or a sawzall to sawzall the roots out, you know, so you can get the stump. When you do that, it's harder to get out, but the end result is a little better than a stump grinder because you get the complete trunk out. But with a stump grinder, you can generally go about 6 inches deep and then cover it over with soil. So it just depends on the ease of getting it out, how healthy you are, or whoever your crew is going to be to remove it. And just what you want to do. You know, if you ground it 6 inches deep and got rid of the grindings, like it looks like sawdust, and just put some sod over the top, that would probably be okay. You would run the risk of eventually around that stump and the leftover roots getting mushrooms growing up that are decomposing the roots. But even if you took the complete stump out, where you have leftover roots, you still may run that risk.
Okay. Okay. That answers my question. Thank you.
All right. Thanks for your call this morning. Let's take a call from Cindy. Good morning, Cindy.
Hi. I have an apple tree in Provo, and my neighbor tells me I have fire blight. Or no, not fire blight. I have powdery mildew, and I moved in here 2 years ago, and I didn't spray the first year, but I pruned a lot, and the first year we had hundreds of apples. The second year, I guess, powdery mildew overwinters, and I got one apple. So this year, I'm wondering what to do.
Well, I don't think that the powdery mildew stopped your apple crop. That generally happens when the tree overbears, and then it has to take a year to kind of rest and regenerate fruit buds, is putting it simply. I know that the fruit professors on campus would be like, no, do it better, but it works for now. So a tree will go into what we call biennial bearing when it overbears 1 year, and the next year it just kind of takes the year off. Now, so the way around that is when you get your fruit on the tree is to thin the fruit so you have one fruit for every 6 inches to foot of branch. And that will usually cause it to produce a crop every year.
Okay, so I don't need to worry about the powdery mildew?
Well, the powdery mildew can be bad. Did it show up in the spring or fall?
Well, last year I think it was, I don't remember when it showed up. But in the fall, I'll
because if powdery mildew shows up in the spring, you don't want that because it'll stay all year, and once it gets established on the leaves, it can be extremely difficult to get rid of. And so I would strongly recommend doing your dormant oil spray this year and keeping an eye on the leaves. And once if you see any powdery mildew start to show up, then you would want to do a fungicide spray of something like liquid F-stop that would then go after that before it got really established.
Okay, what was the spray I should use right away?
One of them, and there are a few, one of them is called Liquid F-Stop.
F as in Frank?
Yes, like a camera F-Stop.
Okay, Liquid F-Stop, and I should do that right away?
Yes. Well, okay. You would want to wait until you saw, so you do a dormant oil soon, and that will help go after the powdery mildew that might be overwintering on the tree. Uh-huh. And then the liquid F-stop you would use if you had powdery mildew on those leaves that you found, you'd use it early so that you're not trying to get rid of your tree that looks like it's flocked white, like a Christmas tree in July or August.
Oh, okay. A dormant oil?
A dormant oil spray.
Okay, I've never sprayed fruit trees before, so it's new to me. So I can ask at the garden center. Okay,
yes, and you can subscribe to the Utah State University Pest Lab updates, and they will tell you when and what to spray.
Okay. Do apples?
And that you can reach those. Absolutely, they get coddling moth larvae, which everyone calls worms.
Okay. Very good. Thank you so much.
Thanks for your call. Next texter is wondering about pruning ever-bearing raspberries.
You can actually prune those in late summer if you're double cropping them. So if you get a summer crop, what you would do is after you get that July or so crop, those canes can come out and you leave the newer canes behind to give you your fall crop. You'd leave those intact until the next year, and then after they do a summer, you can cut them down and keep generating new growth. The other strategy is just to mow them within a couple inches of the ground, let them all grow up and get a really heavy fall crop.
Okay, but not right now.
They can do it now if they want to use that method. Otherwise, what they would do is go in and just look for all the dead canes, because raspberries have perennial bases and biennial canes, so the canes live for 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
And so once those canes produce a summer crop, they usually die. And so if you were wanting the two crops, you would go in and look for all the dead canes and take those out.
Okay, what about strawberries? Would it be the same thing for strawberries? Because we had a question earlier about strawberries, whether they should go in and take out the dead leaves. And
you can clean out the dead leaves. That's fine. Generally, unless we get a lot of snow cover, strawberries should be covered with an inch or two of straw or something similar that's light that will just protect them a bit. But any dead leaves can be cleaned out, and you don't want to do a lot of fertilization on strawberries. If you do, you always do it when they're done with their spring crop.
Okay, let's take a call from Carla in Conwood Heights. Good morning, Carla.
Good morning. I have a hibiscus and a dahlia, and what we've done in the past is just cut them along the ground and leave the crowns. And then they grow, but not where the old growth was. Now the hibiscus particularly is getting a lot of those old crowns and spreading out where we don't necessarily want it. Is there anything we can do about that?
Dig it up and split it.
Oh, okay.
So you can lift that carefully, or you can just go in with a sharp spade, and where you see a new crown, you know, you can cut that crown, and you want to get as many roots as you can, and then you would move that crown to a new home.
Okay. We will try that then. And we can do that this year?
Yes, I would do it soon, because you don't want, even though hibiscus don't break dormancy until late May usually, the sooner the better, as long as the ground isn't frozen.
And the dahlia, would we do basically the same thing with it?
Yeah, just look for a clump or a crown. And, I mean, if you're warm enough to keep that dahlia out there, I would keep them in a similar location. Generally, you need to bring those dahlias inside. And if it's close enough to your home to where the ground doesn't freeze and you're putting a little compost or something over the top, they sometimes overwinter, but that's a somewhat unique thing.
It's against a brick wall on the west side of the house, so we've really
it's getting heat, residual heat from the house, and that's what's protecting it. And so when you divide it, put those right back in along the side of the house, or else you're going to have to dig them up in the fall and take them inside and keep them dormant in your basement or something and replant them the next year.
And then one other question. We've had iris planted in our yard for years, and they are out of control. I don't know how to divide them or get rid of them or anything else. My husband dug up some last year and it nearly killed him. So do we just gradually keep digging until we get them out?
Well, you can do that. There's not really a lot of sprays that go after them very well because the leaves have such a waxy coating. And so digging them is one way to do that. If the soil is moist, it's a lot easier. Sometimes if you have a lot of rocks, it's not. But that's, I mean, you might be able to give them away, at least some of them, to neighbors or something. But if you were to try to spray them out, what I would do is weed whack the top half of the leaves off and then immediately go back in with some glyphosate with surfactant. So Roundup with surfactant, or like Kills-All with surfactant, and spray them after you've whacked the tops.
Okay.
So you leave some of the leaf intact, but what you're hoping is where you severed that leaf in half, there's a wound, and before it seals up, you want that iris to absorb some of the poison you put on it.
Okay.
All right.
Good.
Good luck to you.
Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. So many questions, so little time. The number to call, 801-575-8255. You can text us your questions at 57500. We'll get to as many as we can.
A gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on KSLPodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
And thank you for all of your questions and calls to the KSL Greenhouse, 575-8255, or you can text us at 57500. Let's take a call now from Kyle in Salem. Good morning, Kyle.
Good morning. I have two questions, one about an apple tree and one about a pear tree. We moved into this house down here 2 years ago, and the trees were still pretty young. I pruned them just a little bit. Last year, though, it was the first year that actually had a decent amount of fruit on it, and the fruit rotted on the tree. It didn't ever actually, like, ripen. It rotted in, like, late August. They just mushed right on the tree. And there were no bugs or aphids or anything that I could see on the tree. So I'm wondering, obviously, why that happened, what I can do to prevent that this year.
Was it every last fruit that did that?
Almost. I mean, we had some that I pulled off. When I noticed they were rotting on a tree, I started to pick some of the ones that were less rotting, but they were still mushy. They were still mushy on the inside, and they weren't ripe yet. They hadn't turned the color of the ripe. I don't know what variety it is. We just moved in. They had the trees here.
Well, I would suspect that if it were every apple, that it was probably something environmental. Because usually when a disease hits a tree, it's 30% or 40%, you know, not every last one. But if you have an environmental condition or nutrient problems or something like that, then that can cause every fruit. Now, I'm not saying that it wasn't fungus, because after the fact, you know, they can get in there. But apples, especially if they're drought stressed, or they're drought stressed and then get heavy irrigation and then get really drought stressed again, can develop nutrient deficiencies that could contribute to that, where you get bitter pit or some other deficiencies that if the fruit stays on the tree, that can get some rots and things in there that would then be secondary to the initial cause.
So would flood irrigation contribute to that?
Well, if you were flood irrigating those trees once a week, no, that's actually fairly ideal through the middle of the summer. It would be more if you went 2 or 3 weeks and then all of a sudden flooded them, and then went 2 or 3 weeks and then flooded them.
Oh, okay. I understand. So that makes sense. The other one is about the pear tree. For the last 3 or 4 years, there'll be one or two main branches. This tree is pretty young still, but there'll be one or two main branches coming off the trunk that'll just die. The whole branch dies, but other branches will be fine. And then when those other branches, start producing fruit, those fruit die on the vine or die on the tree as well. They don't actually, you know, mature. They just die.
You may have fire blight causing that. It sounds a lot like fire blight. And so USU has a really good fire blight fact sheet. Excuse me?
What is fire blight? I don't know what that is.
It's a bacterial disease that can knock out a pear tree a limited time. The fruits die on the vine. You'll get brown or black leaves at the tip sometimes. But what I would recommend doing is sending some pictures, especially if this starts to happen again, to the email address gardenhelp@usu.edu.
Okay.
So this is only for Utah County. It's kind of our horticulture helpline, and I don't want to overwhelm our part-time technician. So gardenhelp@usu.edu and some pictures would be fabulously helpful. Even now, we might be able to determine if it's fire blight, but if not, later in the season. But just listening to how you describe that, I'd give it an 80 or 90% chance that there's at least fire blight contributing to the problem.
Okay. Yeah, because one branch will just turn black. It's almost like it got burnt. And then it's just...
Yeah.
It's totally...
Now, pears, that's where the name fire blight comes from, but... Pears, when they die prematurely, always turn black. And so you can't automatically say, oh, yes, fire blight. And that's why you need to look at some other things.
Okay.
All right. Thank you so much for your call. We are out of time. I just can't believe, Ton, how quickly the show goes. And we just have a ton of questions that we are leaving on the table here or unanswered. And we're going to have to get to those next week. And I'm not sure I like the social distancing with you out in Orem and me here in downtown.
Well, I guess we'll try to make do and we'll do what the station asks us to do.
We're going to stay safe, aren't we? Everyone stay safe
and
healthy. More of the Greenhouse Show next week. Have a great weekend.